You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. So we just heard about the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Well, following the 2016 presidential election, they decided to take their songs to the South. That trip turned into an award-winning documentary called Gay Chorus Deep South. KALW's True Gwynn sat down with conductor Tim Selig to learn more.
Can you tell me how this tour came about? I read that it was originally set to be an international tour.
Correct. It was our 40th anniversary, and we decided that we would go to China because no gay men's chorus had ever been there before. So we were ramping up to do that, and then we were having doubts about that when all of a sudden the election happened. And 1 or 2 days after that, our board chair called and said, "Why are we spending all this money to go to China for a very limited number of people when we can go to the South where people are hurting and going to hurt even worse and sing for those people that we want to encourage the LGBTQ community and hopefully draw in some new people that will support us?"
Tell us a little bit about this tour. You guys did 23 performances in a 7-day period.
We did. I think it may be 25, but who's counting? So what we did was we went to 5 states. We sang major concerts in the 5 states. And then all day when we were en route or in a city, we did what I would call breakout performances. So half the chorus, we had 300 people there, just under 300, 297 to be correct, would go sing in a high school, and then half of them would go to a church at noon, and then they would have a panel in the afternoon about PrEP and about AIDS and about coming out. And then that night, we would have our big concert, and then we get on the bus, and it was planned within an inch of its life. And so we were doing multiple appearances every single day, every day on the tour, and we had 7 days to do it.
It sounds like a lot of planning and a
lot
of corralling.
300 gays on buses in the South. It's a dream vacation.
State after state, the legislature tried to regulate human nature.
And so from sea to shining sea, they'd like to tell us where to pee.
And you guys got to talk to people who live there, too,
we
community
did.
Members.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
How was that? What kind of stories did you hear?
We got our minds changed, and the whole gist of the film is we thought we were going there to teach them something or to encourage them, and it turned out that, boy, did we ever learn a lot about ourselves, and we're taken down a notch, as we say in the South. We got some humility pie served to us because the people there that are in the LGBTQ community are fighting the good fight. They've decided to stay in small towns in rural deep South and work for trans rights. And you're like, oh my gosh, bless your heart. There's one person working for the ACLU Trans Initiative in the entire state of Mississippi. And so we found such courageous people all along the journey. We did find, on the other hand, a massive number of people who came out because they'd never seen anything like that. And so we would fill a 2,000-seat performance hall, and they'd never seen that many gays. And it was so empowering for those people and then a lot of straight allies in churches along the way. And we heard stories and stories and stories about how our tour and now the documentary is really changing people's lives and encouraging people. It was amazing to hear and quite heartwarming.
Were you feeling not full of hope when you embarked on this tour?
Absolutely not full of hope. Yes. I just didn't know. I mean, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I did not know the overwhelming turnout that we would have at these huge halls. You just never know. And so we had enough money from tickets in each of the 5 cities to leave $100,000 behind. So every dollar of ticket money we left in the cities where we sang, which was really, really wonderful. And, you know, $5,000 for a tiny organization fighting for trans rights is huge.
I'm sorry, you want to do what in the South? Like, did anyone ask?
God clearly says homosexuality is an abomination. He didn't create people like that.
Did you guys come into any resistance?
We did. We had a few picketers. We had nasty phone calls, nasty to our office, which one of them is played on the documentary. And then in one location, we had a bomb scare, and we had to vacate the building while they checked for bombs. So that's about it. We had police escort all the way. We had a lot of security. The FBI was involved, which was really cool. And they were listening for chatter, which was kind of interesting. I was like, you should come to one of my rehearsals. All they do is chatter.
What does that mean, they're listening for chatter?
Well, they were listening to the airwaves, listening to people's, well, I shouldn't say spying, but listening to see if there was an uptick in anti-LGBTQ conversation or any mention of the gay chorus coming to the city.
What were picketers saying?
Oh, it was great. Well, it's all religious.
What kind of signage? Okay.
Repent. Repent. You're going to hell. Yeah. Nice, sweet Christian things like that. I conducted the Gay Men's Chorus in Dallas, Texas for 20 years. So I know what the other side feels about us all too well. Going to the South, going to Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, and South Carolina, was not a surprise to me. I think what surprised me most is that there are people standing up for themselves and for their rights. And that surprised me, the courage of those people doing that.
Without being in the comfort of the Bay Area or San Francisco, you mean?
We were both proud of and embarrassed by our bubble and how, like, we just walk daily with this bubble. And it really hit us kind of hard about how lucky we are, and also how insular and stupid we are.
And how does music also act as a connector and bridge people?
That it's a great question. It seems really obvious to me since I've been doing it my entire life. Since the first half of my life, I was a Baptist minister of music, and the music is geared to touch people or change their minds or make them feel really guilty. So then when I came over to the other side, to the bright side, I've spent the last 32 years conducting gay and lesbian choruses, and I watch barriers break down at every turn. One of the stories of one young man that was born in Jackson, Mississippi, they follow him, and they go to his parents' house, and there are Confederate flags around and in his house, and that's quite something. His parents came. His father was not going to come, et cetera, et cetera. And the most beautiful thing in the documentary is as they watch, and he's sitting there completely closed body language, frowning, and then he kind of releases his arms, and by the time it's over, he's laughing along with the chorus. It is beautiful. It is probably the most poignant evidence that music can break down barriers.
Chicago with no chic would be boring in a week, and you can't have New York City without Queens.
We are so honored to be invited to be the final film at Frameline here. June 30th will be our San Francisco coming out, as it were. I mean, we're way out, but it's going to be our screening coming out. But I think the most exciting thing is that people are resonating with these stories. It's beyond our imagination, and we're absolutely thrilled. It's our mission. I mean, it's the mission of the chorus to reach people and to lift them up, educate, and to see our mission on screen is amazing.
You have allowed me to come home, and we want to thank you for that.
Music heals. It's healing me.
That was True Gwynn talking to Tim Selig of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. You can catch the documentary Gay Chorus Deep South this Sunday at the Castro Theater for the closing night of Frameline Film Festival.